So a few years ago, I had to give a presentation where I was in the last group on the last day, and they called themselves the Bitter End Crew. So I thank you for being here as the Bitter End Crew. Now I'm Colleen Jones, and I'd like to recognize my major advisor, Paul Grossel. He's my co-author, and we are from the Plant, Soil, and Climate Department at Utah State University. And I'd like to speak to you today about selenium in a biogeochemistry in Perryett Wetland in Utah. Now this is a unique wetland because it's a constructed wetland in an arid, semi-arid area where there's very little water. And it's also some interesting land formations that contribute to the availability of selenium in the area. So this wetland was constructed in the 1970s by the BLM. It has 23 ponds. It's the BLM's largest waterfowl management area in Utah, so they're quite proud of this area and want to keep it in use. Prior to the construction, there were approximately 86 ducks that inhabited the area and no geese. But now, currently, the wetland supports habitat for 1,700 ducks and 500 geese. So they have had increase. But their overall objectives when they began to construct the wetland is they wanted to increase wetland habitat in the area. They wanted to increase the population of ducks and geese, as well as to provide opportunity for wildlife viewing. And it's a beautiful area where you can see antelope and various different types of animals, aquatic versus, and also upland species. They also wanted to provide a laboratory for aquatic ecology species and develop a home for special status species. There are a few special status plants in the area, as well as birds and fish that inhabit areas nearby. They also wanted to increase biodiversity. Now, our study area is in the northeastern corner of Utah. The study area is on the Colorado Plateau. It flows into the Green River, and it's about 35 miles southwest of Vernal, Utah, which is on the Colorado-Wyoming border. Now, in the 80s, there was some interest in selenium where potential contaminating areas, and the middle section of the Green River was identified as an area of concern. This is the middle Green River. Here is the border between Utah and Colorado, where Vernal is famous for Dinosaur National Monument. Below Dinosaur National Monument, there is an area called Stewart Lake, right here, who receives selenium from the Manco Coast Shell, and that has been an area that has been heavily studied. But our area is in the Perryett Wetland, a little further south and west. And then there's also an area during the 80s that they studied in the Ouray National Wildlife Refuge. So the Perryett Wetland receives its water from irrigated return water from the Pleasant Valley. There is a water diverted from the Duchesne River, which is an adjacent river nearby. As the water comes into Perryett, the water is not have above the 4.6 parts per billion, so it is clean before it comes in, but as it comes out, it receives a lot more selenium. Approximately 150 CFS is diverted during irrigation season, which goes from May to October. And there are some minimal springs that also contribute to water sources for the wetland. Now, the Perryett Wetland has a variety of land uses. Like I said, Perryett Draw has Pleasant Valley, where there are farmers who farm alfalfa, and the return water from that area gets put into the Perryett Wetland. So it's primarily irrigated hay, pasture, and livestock. Now, after the 1980 study, they switched over from irrigated crop to sprinklers, and the reason why they wanted to do this study was to see if they've made a difference. And then Perryett Draw is also influenced heavily by oil and gas industry. So as you go out there, there are oil rigs all over. So we think there also might be an impact on because the oil and gas pads. Parrot Draw is a very flashy system, so when it rains, there's a great potential for the selenium to be leached out of the soils and the rocks. Also, over-irrigation during spring and early summer can result in deep percolation where selenium can also get into the water. Now, groundwater data is very sparse in the area, so it hasn't been very well studied, but the geology of the area is Uinta Formation, which is known for having selenium in it. Now, here's our study area. The Pleasant Valley area is in this upper Parrot Draw. Most of the oil and gas is in this lower Parrot Draw, and then here is the wetland, which flows into the Green River. So here's Mighton. It's just south of Mighton, and Vernal would be up a little further. So are selenium levels high enough to be problematic? Now, these are ducks that have developmental issues. Some of them were born without legs, not fully developed guts, beak issues. Now, this came from the 80s study where they reported that the selenium concentration ranged from 15 parts per billion to 400 parts per billion. The studies in the 1980s done by the USGS and U.S. Fish and Wildlife and BLM also found that the selenium, as it came into Pleasant Valley, was below the allotted concentration. It was below one part per billion, but as it moved through the irrigated wetland or irrigated areas, the selenium increased, and then as it made it into the wetland, it started to drop off. And then in 2008 and 2009, the Utah Division of Water Quality conducted a TMDL study, which is a total max and daily load study, where they also looked at selenium concentration. And the selenium concentration, some of the patterns they found is that during low flows, the selenium concentration is high. During high flows, the selenium concentration is low. They also found the same pattern: as selenium moves through Pleasant Valley, it increases, and then as it makes it to the wetland before it gets to the Green River, it also reduces. So this leads to our questions that we want to find. How is selenium being mobilized in the Parrot wetland, soil, water, air, plants? And does the wetland act as a reservoir for the selenium? Because we see that the selenium concentration is dropping off through the wetland. And so selenium is found naturally in ores that are in this area. So it can be oxidized and get into the water, but also it has several oxidative states that is more soluble as selenite and seleniate, where it gets into water, and that water can get into the plants, or maybe as the oxidative roots also get in the plants, and maybe there's some volatility of selenium. So we just don't know where that selenium drop-off is going to be. But selenium is also regulated by pH, oxidation reduction conditions, and so we want to get more at what is going on here and how is it happening. So here's a close-up of the wetland. The wetland, the water flows this direction into the Green River. There is a flood control structure where at the inlet. So we took samples at the flood control. We also took samples below this desiltation pond. As the water comes in, it's very very high in sediments, and so this desiltation pond, the BLM people kind of joke, is this is where you can walk on water, because the sediments are so deep. They're planning to increase the desiltation control up another 12 feet so they can have some more capacity for holding the water. But the water, there's a series of canals, and it's all gravity flow through all these different ponds until it reaches into the Green River. We also sampled below Redhead Pond for selenium as well. So our water results, we're in our first year of a three-year study, so we're still working things out, but we did see seasonal variability in the inflow and also at the middle, the desiltation pond, and then there were very minimal fluctuations at the outlet. So in March, when we sampled, the sample's concentration was 20 parts per billion, and the wetland when we sampled later in May, went down to 3 parts per billion. So there's seasonal variability. But at the outflow stays consistent with 4 parts per billion at the outflow. So there's something going on, and we'd like to figure that out. Our approach is we want to look at the surface water and the pore water. We've sampled the pore water. We're still working on getting the concentration from the pore water right now. So we had these plastic samplers that we inserted into the soils to get the soil water. We also have sampled soils, and we're going to continue on with that. This next year, we want to add plants and also add a volatility study to the area, see if that's where the selenium is going. We also have a temperature, our multiprobe there in the inlet and outlet, where we're looking at temperature, pH, dissolved oxygen, turbidity, and conductivity. We also have looked at the soil profiles there with within the wetland and also on upland soil. The soils are sandy loams. They're also calcareous and dominated by salts. Our soil results, when we sampled at the inflow, the salinity was 1.5 decisiemens per meter, with the selenium concentration being 30 parts per billion. When we go down to the desilt pond, a little further downstream, the salinity goes up to 6 decisiemens per meter, and the concentration is 17 parts per billion. Now, 4 decisiemens per centimeter, that's where you start to see limitations with plants, and also plants that are salt tolerant have issues growing in anything higher than 4. We also did a sodium absorption ratio there at the desiltation pond, which came up with 14. Now, 13 is the level at which we have issues with sodic soils. The salts that came from this area are soluble sodium sulfites. We have thinardite and rhyolite, and also as we took the sodium selenium concentration, we had 570 parts per billion. So we're starting to think, well, maybe we need to look at the salts and see if the salts contributing to what's happening with the selenium. So this is a picture that we took at the when we did the profiles on the side of the wall, the salts precipitated out, but you can also go along the wetland and areas that have gotten wet and see these salts that are precipitating out. I'd like to acknowledge the U.S. Bureau of Land Management for funding this project, also my committee, Paul Grosso, Janice Bettinger, Astrid Jacobson, and Ben Berger. Also, another committee member is Mike Omaker, who works for the U.S. Forest Service, the Rocky Mountain Research Station. We also have some co-investigators from Kansas State, Data Salgada, and Michelle Tuttle. These are geochemists. They're also helping us. And then we also have a couple other agencies that are interested in our work, Sandy Weingert from the Utah Division of Water Quality, and then John Eisenhart from the U.S. Fish and Game. They're all interested in finding out what's going on with the selenium, and is it a bioaccumulating, is it affecting the animals, and is there anything that we can do to mediate that? So, any questions?
So we have a couple minutes.
Okay. Yeah, we think that's Michelle Tuttle. We think that is an issue. We have like I said, Michelle is a geochemist. She's come out and sampled, and I haven't received those results yet. So, we think that is an issue. I think mostly the issue is nearby erosion of the sediments there. Yes? Those are from the 1980s.
Are you still seeing that?
I've asked around, and they're not currently seeing any of that. Some of the things that they did, like the Stewart Lake that was further north near Vernal, they did quite a few things where they put in selenium obligates and tried to take in the in the plants, and then they cut them and burned them and went through that several times. But I don't think they're currently seeing that. I try to talk to, that area is run by Utah Division of Wildlife Resources, and I try to talk to the habitat person before I came to see if they were seeing any more, but I don't think they're seeing any more. I think they saw it in the 80s. I think also in the Ouray that they had some developmental issues. They closed the pond that was having the issues, and that pond is no longer open. So there are pockets in the area that have more selenium than other. So you're welcome.
So thank you.
Thank you.